to ground control. I'm stepping through the door, and I'm floating in a most peculiar way.
This is the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker. My last solo day before Jamie returns after the bye week on Monday. So one more day by myself. And then we'll be back to normal next week. That song, by the way, it's an All Request Friday. If you want to hear something, just fire us a text. The text line is 877-332-8255. By the way, the Green Zone fan line is always open. And we got to send that out to the Apollo 13 astronaut. If I'm not mistaken, he was the commander, and it was the character that Tom Hanks portrayed in the movie. I'm getting the thumbs up from the newsroom. Jim Lavelle passing away at the age of 97. So it must be annoying for anyone who's an astronaut whose name comes up, and then they play the David Bowie Space Oddity song, right? It's probably, I'm guessing they may be done with it. Is there another space song? No. Someone's going to text. Scotty, someone's going to text in another space song. Something that might be just as appropriate as Space Odyssey from David Bowie. All right. And again, like I said, if you want to hear anything, also fire us a note. 877-332-8255. Let's go, baby. Friday. Woo. As always, we kick off the show with the biggest headlines of the day, and Vicky, a champion at home.
The maiden of Montreal, at just 18 years of age, Victoria Mboko completes a magnificent run to her first tour title. And that's even more special, because she's done it in front of her home fans.
I thought she was from Toronto, but I guess she's from Montreal. And apparently, Vicky and her win yesterday attracted a lot of people. A lot of people were watching that wouldn't normally watch tennis. And Sportsnet just announced that it is the most watched tennis program they have ever broadcast from start to finish. The NBO reached 5.5 million Canadians. That's huge. The 18-year-old Canadian is going from 85th in the WTA rankings to 25th overall. I don't know exactly the technical sort of side of it with tennis and how it all sort of pans out, but I believe she's got some sort of an automatic exemption into the U.S. Open. So we've got somebody to cheer for when that comes around. And she beat Naomi Osaka last night in Montreal. Naomi looked very frustrated in that third set. Not that Vicky didn't deserve it, but it was definitely getting to her because she was making some just incredible shots. She was a wild card going into this tournament. So fantastic news. And we'll move over to the CFL. Last night's game, the start of week 10, was probably the marquee matchup and a huge win for the Lions.
White up and through, and the BC Lions turn the tables on the Ticats.
That was the winning field goal in overtime last night, and the final was 41-38. Rourke threw for 408 yards and two touchdowns. He looked pretty good. The Lions are now 4-5. BC ends the Ticats' six-game winning streak as well. The Ticats are now sitting at 6-3. Still second in the CFL and are in Regina next Saturday against August 16th. The CFL Week 10 schedule continues tonight. We got the Elks and the Argonauts, a 5:30 start, and then two games, a doubleheader on Saturday. Red Blacks in Toronto to take on the Argonauts at 1 o'clock, and then on 5 o'clock, the Blue Bombers Stampeders game. That should be interesting to watch as well. And then the NFL Week 1 of the preseason. Up and running, and we only had three games last night. The Ravens beating the Colts. Ajo had three catches for 18 yards in an Indy loss. Just looking at, comparatively speaking to the rest of the wide receivers on that team, he did pretty good. I think I don't know if he shone, but he was definitely up there and was one of the main targets. The Super Bowl champs, the Philadelphia Eagles over the Bengals. Jamie's Raiders finished in a tie with the Seattle Seahawks. 23-23 was the final there. We got three games tonight, including Shedeur Sanders, the fourth-string quarterback for the Browns in Carolina against the Panthers. Eight games on Saturday, including the Steelers and Jaguars. Aaron Rodgers will not start on Saturday. Trust me, if he was, that would be a headline. And then two games on Sunday. That'll be week one of the preseason. We'll move over to baseball. The Jays are in Los Angeles taking on the Dodgers tonight.
Well, supposedly we were going to have two veterans. 44-year-old Randy Johnson, 42-year-old Greg Maddux, but under the headline and heading of the best laid plans of mice and men, we have a 24-year-old Scherzer with no wins and a 20-year-old Kershaw with three. What a difference a day makes.
There we go. We got the legendary Vin Scully with the call. That was the first time Max Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw ever went head-to-head. They're going head-to-head tonight. This will be the fifth time they've matched up. Three of them have gone to Clayton, all right? The Blue Jays are first in the AL East, four games ahead of Boston. I don't even know what New York is going to do. The Yankees really got to get back on track to even make a dent in the AL East at this point. They'll be fighting for a wild card spot leading up to October. The Dodgers are first in the NL West. Start time for the game tonight, just after 8 o'clock. This is the first time these teams have met this season, and I like this matchup because, especially coming off of the Colorado Rockies, that dominant performance for the Blue Jays, because I think this is a better test. This is a better gauge for the fans to see where this team is at. They've had nine sweeps on the season. They've got one of the best records in the majors right now. The Dodgers haven't been lighting up the world, but again, it is a better squad than the Rockies. Both teams are 5-5 in their last 10 games as well. And we have some WCBL action to report on. The Regina Red Sox have advanced to the East Divisional Finals. They beat Medicine Hat 13-7. So they won the two games. They win the best of three series. They move on. The Saskatoon Berries are staying alive. They stayed alive with a win in Moose Jaw last night. Game three, we just found out that it was postponed due to weather. So if you had tickets for tonight's game at Carnes Field, they'll be able to use them for the game tomorrow night. We'll keep you posted on that, obviously, if there's any changes in that schedule for tomorrow night as well. The only team in the West that's advanced so far is Okotoks, so they move on to the next round. The conversation I'd like to have today with you ties into a former Rough Rider, and we actually got him on the show today, Matt Dominguez. He put up a social media post late last week, and we don't know exactly what team he was talking about. But I'll get you the details coming up in just a bit. And that actually got us thinking about a conversation that we could have here on the Green Zone. And I'm looking forward to chatting with Matt as well. And at any point, you can reach out to the Green Zone. We want your requests. It's an all request Friday, 877-332-8255. Again, 877-332-8255, the Green Zone fan line. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I can't believe I didn't think of this one. I just gapped. I get. Thank you. Thank you. About 45 texts just came in saying, you could go with Rocket Man, you morons. All right, this is the Green Zone. I am Locker. Jamie's back next week. We're playing anything you want to hear today, but the Rocket Man was, obviously we'll send that out to the Apollo 13 astronaut. He was the commander of that ship. If you haven't seen that movie, then I don't know what you're doing. Is that a movie that people can actually admit to never seeing? The Tom Hanks movie? I think most of the planet has seen that one. Jim Lavelle, who Tom Hanks played in the movie. He passed away at the age of 97, a famed NASA astronaut. So rest in peace, Jim Lavelle. And again, they don't have to be space-themed songs today. It's a Friday. Let us know what you want to hear. And the Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. And this is the conversation that I'd like to focus on today. When we open up the phone lines, you can talk about anything, but think about this. And this is based on a social media post that we saw from a former Rough Rider, won a Grey Cup back in 2007, Matt Dominguez. And we have a sneaky, suspicious feeling, and I'll ask him when we have him on after 4 o'clock today, that this might have some, it has a Dallas Cowboys faint smell to it. So I don't know if he's a Cowboys fan or not, but that's where my head went as soon as I read this. So here's his post. Unpopular, but possibly an hilarious opinion. I feel like if you give a pro team 25 years of support and they don't change, you should be able to hit the fan transfer portal and nobody should be able to say anything bad about your decision. That's 2.5 decades. If your favorite restaurant put out trash meals at some point, you're going to stop going. He's got an interesting point. Although fandom is very, very, very deep ingrained. And I know people that regardless, I mean, there's still Leaf fans out there. Does that make any sense? Nope. That doesn't make any sense. But you still see diehard Leaf fans. So maybe you have a problem with this take. I have a fan switching story, but I'll tell it. So I never really had an NFL team that I cheer for. I mean, I would favor one team over the other once the playoffs came around, but for years I watched marquee matchups, you know, one big quarterback up against another one. I was probably more defined by my hatred for the New England Patriots. If anything, I didn't really have a team. So a friend of mine who was mortified by this fact forced me to pick a team. He said, you have to pick a team. What are you doing? Come on, pick a team. And he hated the Cleveland Browns and Johnny Manziel in particular. So I went and bought a Johnny Manziel jersey, and I decided that I was going to cheer for the Cleveland Browns. So I jumped on the Cleveland. This is quite a few years ago. Actually, I think it was the year that Johnny Manziel was actually part of the team. Anyway, after the Deshaun Watson saga, I said, well, no, I can't do this anymore. I got to get off of cheering for the Cleveland Browns. I can't do it. So I went about researching other teams. And the other team in the NFL that is just as disappointing to the fan base as the Cleveland Browns would be the Bills. And listen, the Buffalo Bills are doing very well, but they have a history of getting to a point where they look like they're going to win, and then they disappoint everybody. And I thought that would be a good switch. So I went into the fan portal. Thank you, Matt, for the new expression. And I switched my allegiance, and I now cheer for the Buffalo Bills. So that's my story. We want yours, because I want a why on this one. Start thinking about it. And you can text or you can call the Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. I want a reason why you switched teams, especially if you were like living in one city and then you're cheering for a team in another city, which I'm guessing we'll get a couple of those stories as well. All right. Our preview here on the Green Zone of the NFL season continues. Man, I think we've ticked off quite a few teams in the last couple of weeks. I don't think we have too many left. Up next, the San Francisco 49ers. We are going to be chatting with Jennifer Lee Chan. She is a beat reporter with the 49ers. We'll probably get into a conversation about smelling salts. I'll warn you now, just based on the fact that George Kittle was the one that kind of got that whole ball rolling. So that is coming up. And yes, looking forward to chatting with Jennifer Lee Chan. And that's up next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. The This is the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker. I am Locker. Jamie takes the bye weeks off, the Riders' bye weeks off, and he will be back early next week. Looking forward to having him back on the program. The text line, 877-332-8255. If you want to hear something, that one, I didn't have a name on it, but somebody had no, hold on. It was Brent. Brent or Brett wanted to hear some Journey, Only the Young Survive. And if you've got a tune you would like to hear today, make sure you fire us a quick little note. A heads up on the Saskatoon Berries Moose Jaw game. It was postponed. We got some weather situation. So they lost the first one, the Berries did, and then they won the second one. So basically, we have to postpone the game. We'll wrap up that series tomorrow. If you bought tickets for the game for Friday for tonight, they will still be able to, you'll still be able to use them for Saturday as well. And again, our preview of the upcoming NFL season continues here on the Green Zone. Right now, we are going to be dealing with the San Francisco 49ers, and we are joined by Jennifer Lee Chan. She is a beat reporter for the 49ers. And thank you for your time today, Jennifer. Much appreciated.
No problem. Hope you're doing well.
Doing very, very well. I hate to do this, but let's get it out of the way. The smelling salts thing. I'm curious when the thing came down, because George Kittle is kind of the reason why this is even a story. Were you anywhere around? Did you witness the fallout of it?
No, I did not, but I just heard about it. And the thing about George Kittle is he's very ritualistic. So pre-game, post-game, he has the same exact thing every game. He gets a letter from his dad. He reads his letter. He has a moment of calm and breathing on the sidelines, sitting on the bench before he goes back in to put his uniform on. I mean, he stands underneath the goalpost for a prayer before he goes out for warm-ups when he's got his uniform on. I mean, like, there's a whole myriad of rituals that George Kittle goes through before every game, and part of it is smelling salts. And so he was very upset that he thought they were going to be banned, but the ban is that the league is just not going to provide them anymore, so they can provide their own. They just won't be provided by the NFL. So that's really what the crux of the matter is.
Does that seem like a good idea?
Smelling salts or banning them?
Well, no, letting the players bring their own in. Seems like bad idea.
I guess, yeah. I mean, they're all tested, so it's not going to be anything, you know. I mean, they're going to go through their same rituals that they have before.
Okay.
He's not the only player that does it.
I mean, no.
I think, you know, they're tested, so there's quite a few that do it. And I've seen Jake Moody, the kicker, do it. I've seen quite a few. I mean, like, when you see those little packets after they're used on the ground and near the bench, you know, after the game. So I've seen a lot of people use them. He's not the only one. It's just, you know, someone's going, you know, this is a perfect opportunity for someone who can make them to become a partner with certain players, because I think it could be huge.
I didn't think of that.
Business option.
Well, you're not wrong. There's a sponsorship opportunity for George Kittle right there. And you know what? We had the same thing in Canada with hockey, and you see it quite a bit on the bench. A lot of players use it. So I bet you there was some nervous players, because generally when one professional league does something, quite often the other ones will follow, right? I mean, we see it quite a bit in the NFL with the CFL. You'll see them adopt something and the CFL won't be too far behind them. And I have a feeling that this is going to be a conversation moving forward. I think the issue revolving around it is a lot to do with the fact that it potentially can mask concussion symptoms. So I understand the position of the league, and I understand why somebody like George Kittle, if it's part of his routine, would be upset about it as well. We'll move on, though. It's ridiculous. Okay. We're having a conversation about smelling salts, but it's been dominating this week. Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, is the guy this year, the 49ers. They locked him up. How has he looked at camp, Jennifer?
He's looked like Brock Purdy. Nothing has changed with him. His personality has not changed. I don't think his behavior has changed. I think the one thing that he did do is he bought a house in Nashville, which he hadn't done before. So now that he's gotten a little bit bigger paycheck, he can afford to do things probably like fly first class and you know, buy a house. But he's not doing anything crazy. He also just welcomed a baby, a little baby girl into the world, so planning his family life. So he's just kind of one of those quiet, behind-the-scenes kind of guys. He goes about his work. He's a very diligent preparer for practice, for games. I've talked to a bunch of different quarterbacks that have worked with him, from Sam Darnold to Mac Jones to other guys that have been in the building, and they say that the one thing that Brock Purdy does, he gives himself the advantage by being an incredible preparation junkie. So he knows the playbook in and out. He knows the practice plan in and out. He knows the game plan in and out. And that's, you know, it's something that sometimes first round picks don't do. Everything's come naturally for those guys that are at the top of the draft, and so they don't do as much homework. Brock Purdy has kind of leveled the playing field by doing so much work off the field, and you see how it, you know, it has shown up and how it's helped him on the field. So, you know, he's done the extra work with Ricky Pearsall during the off season, and they have come into training camp looking like they have been playing together for a long time. And Ricky Pearsall was only on the field for half the year last year. So
yeah,
I think that combination is going to be one to watch this year.
Let's quickly circle back to George Kittle. I'm very curious because he's a big part of the team. He's a massive personality off, you know, outside of the team, right? I mean, if you're asking people to name players from the San Francisco 49ers, his name might pop up. Is he... You deal with him very differently than the rest of the fan base would. Is he an intense and high energy guy all the time?
Almost completely all the time. And I've done things from doing an ad campaign with him that with Zenny, who is a sponsor of NBC Sports and sponsors the Niners. So we've done that. So we've done off camera stuff. We've done on camera stuff. I go down to Titans University every year. And he's just so positive all the time. And there's really never any, like, chink in the armor. He is just, he's positive all the time. It comes from his parents, who are very spiritual. And they believe that, you know, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, the bad times are bad, but the good times are going to come around the corner at some point. So it's just his personality. And it bleeds into the locker room. Everybody loves George. And he's just his attitude and I guess positivity. Even when they were 6-11 last year, I mean, yes, it sucked, and he admitted it. But he still admitted, "Hey, I'm playing football for a living. It can't be that bad." So it's just his personality. And if he doesn't go into broadcasting after he's done playing in the NFL, I wouldn't be surprised if he does, you know, pop up appearances on, you know, wrestling, on pro wrestling. He loves that. So he's got the personality for it. And I covered him since he was a rookie, and it's been this kind of ascending personality and that he's become. And I was wondering at a certain point whether it was actually really genuine, and it absolutely is.
On your Twitter bio, since you brought up wrestling, you said you're a retired professional wrestler, Jennifer. Yes. I need the story there. Give us that, please.
I was Jade in Women of Wrestling. It's called WOW. It's the same producers that did GLOW. So I wrestled in 2000 to 2001. And then they brought it back in, I think, 2011 and 12. And they're still on the air now. I just am not a part of it anymore. I've retired. Two concussions later, I'm like, I'm good.
It's not easy, right? Like, I mean, you see any professional wrestler from any level talking about what they put their bodies through. It's crazy. I think there's a little bit more, you know, preparation and time between matches now than back in the, you know, back in the day. But you got to have respect for the athleticism that these athletes have in order to perform, regardless of what your opinion is on wrestling.
They're all athletes. And when you see these 300-pound guys do backflips off the top rope, I mean, that's an athlete. I don't care how you slice it. It's a guy who can do a backflip that's 300 pounds. It's insane. So, I mean, yeah, the physical ability for guys who are that big, anyone really, but I mean, especially those big guys, to be able to move like that is crazy. So yes, it's very tough on the body. It's hard. I don't know how people survive it, doing it for decades at a time. There's no way I could have done that.
Jennifer Lee Chen, a beat reporter for the San Francisco 49ers, joins us here on the Green Zone as we preview the upcoming NFL season. So back to the business at hand. The 49ers, relatively speaking, were busy in the offseason, and they signed Fred Warner, 3-year deal. I'm guessing all these moves have been received well by the fan base. I mean, I can see San Francisco going, yes, okay, yes, 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 we're ready for the upcoming season. Is that fair?
Absolutely. I mean, they've had a history of not being able to sign players to their big extensions until like right before week one. Nick Bosa was a holdout. Debo Samuel wanted to be traded. Brandon Ayuk was a hold-in. So there's been a lot of different players. Trent Williams last year didn't show up until week one until he had his extension. So to have it done ahead of time before week one, before training camp, you know, Brock Purdy agreed to his deal very early, and I think part of it was like, you know, hey, how much different is your life going to be whether you make $55 million a year or $65 million a year? I mean, I think you can kind of afford
to try
at either. Yeah, I know, right? So the fact that, you know, and I think that sends a huge message to the locker room, your franchise quarterback, to say, okay, I don't need to break the bank here. I'm going to make a lot of money, and he hasn't made money in the past, right? So a lot of players would be like, okay, this is my one chance. I haven't been paid. You need to back pay me for what I've done in the past, and he is not like that, which speaks volumes to the type of person he is. Mm-hmm. And that, again, just like George Kittle's positivity, Brock Purdy's leadership and being able to do that kind of team-friendly deal, I think speaks volumes to the locker room, and it's a very close locker room. Someone asked me, you know, could Aaron Rodgers have come in and made a difference last year? I'm like, no. I think this locker room is so close, and they really believe in Brock Purdy and what he can do. And, you know, just the mentality of how he's so team-oriented, to have someone outside come in, I don't think would have been good for the roster.
Reports on CMC, his health in the summer. How does that running back room look right now, depth-wise?
I mean, Christian McCaffrey looks great. He looks like he did before the 2023 season. And for fantasy owners out there, if you can get him, I would get him. He's been active during training camp. He looks fast. He looks agile. He's got maybe a little bit more motivation. He is also a new dad. But the rest of the running back room is a little bit nicked up. Isaac Garendo, who is definitely, you know, set to be his backup, has a shoulder injury, and he'll be out for a couple of weeks. It happened on a special teams play. And then rookie Jordan James broke his finger, so he'll be out a couple of weeks as well. So they've got Patrick Taylor Jr. behind him. He'll probably get more of the reps. And Amir Abdullah, you know, longtime veteran of the league, still has some juice. He caught a deep pass down the sideline and beat the defensive back. So, I mean, he's still got some speed. You know, he's a guy who I was surprised who picked up the offense very quickly, you know, his 11th season in the league. Pretty impressive.
Jennifer, there is news trickling out of San Francisco on the stadium renovation, and I'm wondering if there's anything, because I'm guessing that you might have been part of the presentation to the season ticket holders. Is there anything from that presentation and the $2 million plans on Levi to that jumped out at you that are worth talking about?
I actually was not there. It was a really, really long day of practice, and they didn't do it until 8 p.m. at night because
okay.
They wanted to do it after the after the sun went down. I'm like, oh, that's really late, because we finished up probably at 5:30.
Yeah,
I was like, I just can't wait for another 2.5 hours. You know, as much as I would have liked to, but they did put up bigger replay screens, which I think is great for everybody. You'll be able to see those screens around the stadium, and you can be, you know, you can see the replays. They'll have everything up there, and it just looks like the lights are brighter. I saw videos of the B-roll from the event last night, and it okay. looks like it's going to be pretty spectacular. And we'll get a view of it tomorrow night, Saturday, when they kick off at 5:30. So it will be dark by the time the game ends, so we'll get a little sample of the light ability.
All right. On paper, this team looks good again. And if they can stay healthy, they could be a threat in the NFC West. And I'm wondering how you think they stack up against the Rams this year.
I mean, I think that's the key, right? It's the health. Last year, they were decimated by injuries, and they are nicked up right now, especially at defensive line. One defensive tackle, Kevin Givens, tore his pectoral muscle, so he'll be out until midseason. Sam Okwuanu has a groin injury. He's out for a couple weeks. Mykel Williams, their first-round draft pick, was tangled up at the line of scrimmage yesterday and hyperextended his knee, so he'll be out for a couple weeks. But the big thing for the 49ers is getting these rookies. There are a ton of rookies on this defensive side of the ball, and they need them to perform. There's still Nick Bosa, there's still Fred Warner, there's Diamino and Lenore, but when you look at that defense, there's a lot of players that have not had a lot of playing time. So for them to get more reps and to stay healthy, that'll be the key. One of the guys to watch to keep your eye out for is Upton Stout.
Okay.
He's a defensive back that they picked up. He is probably going to be their starter at nickel, and he is not the tallest guy, but he plays so much bigger. He's a guy who's going to surprise a lot of people. Not a lot of people know his name, but he has been the darling of training camp so far.
Jennifer Lee Chan joining us for a preview of the upcoming season and breaking down the San Francisco 49ers. Jennifer, thank you for your time today, my friend.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Up next, this day in sports history, and today was a big day for the Dream Team. This is 980 CGME and 650 CKOM.
I'll remember.
It's up.
After 22 years,
this day in sports history, August 8th, 1992, the Dream Team wins gold.
The U.S. has defeated Croatia 117-85, and they have, as expected, won the gold here in Barcelona.
1992, I remember that team as well. Okay, so I'll just throw out a couple of names because they called it the Dream Team for a reason. Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Scottie Pippen, Charles Ewing. Patrick Ewing. That is unbelievable. I'm actually surprised they didn't score more. It was only 117-85, Croatia. And Croatia is oddly really good at basketball. And I remember they were just destroying teams during that run for gold back in 1992 in the Summer Olympics in Barcelona. So there you go. This day in sports history, August 8th, 1992, the Dream Team wins gold. Up next on the Green Zone, we'll be dropping the gloves of Drew Remenda. He has some thoughts on smelling salts. So he's going to weigh in on that. Looking forward to that conversation. Also, it is an all-request Friday. What do you want to hear? You can text or call the Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.